For those who were in the Wednesday afternoon Bible study this past week, as we said this morning, the sermon this afternoon may seem like deja vu all over again. And if that's the case, I apologize beforehand, but in going through the lesson and looking at it, studying for it and presenting it Wednesday afternoon, I realized that a good majority of the people who could have benefited the most from the study weren't there on Wednesday afternoon. And so if you can bear with me, we're going to look at some of these things one more time this afternoon. I realize this is the second time in the past few weeks that I've taken a class from a lesson from the Wednesday class and talked about it again in the pulpit on a Sunday afternoon. I'll try not to make a habit of that. I don't like leftovers. I don't like necessarily serving leftovers when it comes to our studies. But I hope that I've got your attention, and I hope that we'll look at some things that will help those who are present. You see that we're going to talk about marriage, but really this is a sermon that's more about evangelism than it is about marriage. And so I hope that I have everyone's attention as we study. This last week, I'll not pull any punches. This last week has been a very difficult week for my family and I. A number of things happening to make that so. But Thursday morning, I got a call and found out a good friend of ours had passed away. Had lost his battle with cancer, and he left this world, in my opinion, way too soon. And he's going to be missed. And this sermon is dedicated to Rick Dunham. Let's talk about Aquila. Let's talk about Priscilla. This is a couple from the Bible, from the New Testament. They are married to one another. And when we talk about marriage today, we want to talk about making our marriages work. We realize there's always room for improvement in a marriage relationship. We think about the benefits of a good marriage. We think about our spouse. We think about improving our marriage. We think about making life better for our spouse or for our children or for ourselves. And indeed, that's true. Those of us who are married want to work on our marriages. We don't want to neglect them. It doesn't matter what our age is, how long we've been married. We want things to be the best they can for our spouse and for ourselves. But as Christians, I believe we need to look a little bit broader than just that, and just looking at our spouse and looking at ourselves. As Christians, we're interested in the gospel. At least we should be. And we're interested in the spread of the gospel. We need to think about how we can make our marriage work for the cause of Christ. How we can make our marriage work for the Lord. Christianity is an individual religion, yes. We're going to be judged as individuals before the Lord. However, husbands and wives will be better Christians if they work together. The fact that elders and deacons have to be family men tells us that their wives play an important role in what they're able to contribute to the church. Aquila and Priscilla are a good example for us in this area. They're ordinary people, just like you and just like me. There's not one word said anywhere in the New Testament about Aquila and Priscilla having miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. They may have, but the Bible, it's not important enough for the Bible to tell us that. Not one word said about Aquila preaching or taking a leadership role in the local church. He may have, but we're not told. As far as we know, going by what we're told, this is an ordinary couple, just like me and just like you. And yet, their priorities are different than a lot of Christians in whom we come into contact and we meet today. In their brief appearances in the New Testament, they show us what we can do to make our marriage work for the Lord. So let's take a look at some things we observe from their relationship. Number one is the fact that they worked together. Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned 6 times in the New Testament, but every time they are mentioned, they're always mentioned together. It's never just Aquila, it's never just Priscilla. They are always mentioned together. And doesn't that tell us something? The Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something, that here is a husband and a wife that worked together. And they were identified by each other being together in this marriage relationship. If a marriage is going to work for the Lord, we know that both spouses have to work to make it happen. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3 says that two cannot walk together and work together unless they are agreed. And that's true with any kind of a relationship, but it's especially true in the marriage relationship. When you've got one spouse wanting to go this way and another one wanting to go this way, you've got problems there in the marriage. At best, you come to a standstill. At worst, you have the strong one taking the weak one away. That's why 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, we are admonished not to be unequally yoked together. What's that idea? The idea of a yoke is putting two animals together to pull a load. And unequally yoked is where you have one animal that's stronger than the other. And what's the problem there? Well, the problem there is that the stronger is going to pull the weaker one away. And that's true in a marriage as well. And if the strong one is the non-believer and the weak one is the Christian or the believer, and then look at what's going to happen. No, there has to be an agreement there. There was an apparent agreement here with Aquila and Priscilla in their marriage. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 17, the Lord said that a house divided against itself will fall. And that's true in a nation, that's true in a church, and it's true in a marriage as well. If they're divided, if they're not on the same page, it's going to fall. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, talks about the value and the benefit of two people working together. So two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Aquila and Priscilla were in agreement. They were more than just one flesh. They were able to contribute to the cause of Christ like they did because they were on the same page. They had the same goals, the same priorities, and the same commitment to do what they could to support, to defend, and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's one good positive thing we see from this couple, that they are always together. Secondly, the second thing that stands out about this couple is that they practiced hospitality. The first mention of them in the Bible is in Acts chapter 18. This is the passage that Roger read for us just a few moments ago. The first mention of them in the Bible has them opening up their home to the Apostle Paul as they both came to be in Corinth. Again, I want to read, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Now, obviously, here they have some things in common. They have some things in common that draw them to each other, draw both parties to each other. For one thing, they're both Jews. And so they both have that background. They're both Jews. Also, I would believe here that they're both Christians. Now, there's some question as to whether or not Aquila and Priscilla were Christians before they met Paul, or if they were converted here in the early verses of Acts chapter 18. But obviously, by the time we get to the middle of the chapter, there's no doubt that Aquila and Priscilla are believers, that they are Christians. And also, they are of the same trade. And whenever people are of the same trade, oftentimes they are naturally drawn to one another to enjoy some shop talk or whatever you might want to call it. There's that camaraderie there. There's that they have in common there. So they have all these things in common. But you look down at verse 11. Paul was in their home for a year and a half. I want to tell you, it didn't matter how much I have in common with someone. I don't know if I want him in my house for a year and a half. What is the saying that both what do fish and visitors and company have in common? They both begin to stink after a few days. That's the idea. How many days is it?
Three
days. They both began to stink after 3 days. And you know, we talk about that, we smile at that, but think about having a permanent house guest. There's not a lot of people today who would be up for that, but Aquila and Priscilla, Paul stayed in their home for a year and a half. Yes, it was a unique circumstance, unique situation, but they did it. They opened up their home to Paul. And I want to tell you, both parties benefited from this. Paul certainly benefited from it. Verse 4 says he reasons with people in the synagogue every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and Greeks. It gave him an opportunity to be able to work and to earn a living to provide for himself, thus giving him the opportunity to preach without being a burden to the church there. And as you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, you come to see that that was necessary in Corinth. For some reason, if he had taken money from the church there for his preaching, it would have taken away from his effectiveness. So he was able to support himself at this trade and find lodging with Aquila and Priscilla and still do the work of gospel preaching. And so it benefited Paul greatly. But I want to tell you, Priscilla and Aquila also benefited from this arrangement. We made this observation in class. We'll make it again. How many times have you and I been studying the scriptures and we say, you know what? I wish I could go to the Apostle Paul and ask him about this. Have you ever done that before? If you haven't, you haven't been studying hard enough. That happens all the time. We come across a passage of Scripture. It's a little bit hard for us to understand. We say, you know, I wish we had an apostle today. I'd love to have 5 minutes to sit and talk with an apostle and ask him this question. Priscilla and Aquila had a year and a half living with an apostle. Could you imagine the sermons that they heard? Could you imagine the teaching that they heard around their table as they were just setting and sewing and working on tents or whatever it may have been? Bible scholars tell us that during this time that Paul was living in Corinth, he wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians, maybe even the book of 2 Thessalonians. We don't know for sure, but there's a chance that that letter, that book of the New Testament, was written in their home. Do you imagine that? I have a commentary in my office written by Brother Dan King. And I know that there's a few pages in that commentary that covers Daniel chapter 2 that was written while he was staying in Isaac's room, while he stayed at our house holding a gospel meeting. Now that's something to me. Maybe not to everyone, but that's something to me. Christy and I, we've been blessed to keep preachers in our homes during gospel meetings. And while it's a very busy week, we also benefit very much from being able to sit down around the table in the living room and just talk. And talk about the scriptures. And talk about experiences. It helps us a lot. It helped them, no doubt. Because after this, after Acts chapter 18, we see them taking on some tasks in defending the gospel and spreading the gospel, that no doubt that year and a half staying with Paul helped to equip them to be able to do that. So they practiced hospitality. They opened up their home to this preacher for a year and a half, and both parties benefited from it. This is not the last time they practiced hospitality, though. As we go on and survey through the rest of the New Testament, we find that on at least two different occasions where Aquila and Priscilla were living in different places, the church met in their house. In the book of 1 Corinthians at chapter 16. 1 Corinthians at chapter 16. And now the book of 1 Corinthians was written from the city of Ephesus. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and at verse 8, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." So he's writing from Ephesus, but he sends greetings on to the church in Corinth. And you look down in verse 19, it says, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." So here they are in Ephesus, and Aquila and Priscilla are there, and the church is meeting in their house. Now in Romans, at chapter 16, verses 3 through 5, we again read of Priscilla and Aquila, "My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house." So by this time, Aquila and Priscilla found their way back to Rome, And what are they doing once again? Just like they did in Ephesus, they're telling the brethren, meet in our house. So the church is meeting in their house. Again, we made this observation on Wednesday. I'll make it again. You ladies, how would you like to have the whole church come over to your house every Sunday morning? Every Sunday morning. Every Wednesday night. That's quite a task. That's quite a task. But you know what? Aquila and Priscilla, they were dedicated to the Lord's church. Obviously, they had some money. They could afford a large home. And they invited the brethren to come and to meet in their home. So here are some brethren who practice hospitality, and they used hospitality as a way of promoting the Lord's church and promoting the gospel. And you know what? As Christians, we're commanded to do the same thing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 13 tells us that we are to be given to hospitality. That is to be our inclination. That is to be our practice. And 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 9 tells us to be hospitable without grumbling. We're to be hospitable to one another without grumbling about it, without complaining about it. Hospitality helps the cause of Christ. It helps the local church in different ways. For one thing, it gives us another opportunity to spend time with one another. And the more opportunities that we have to spend time with one another, the stronger those bonds of love are going to become, aren't they? The more time we can spend with one another, the closer to one another we are going to become. And hospitality helps us to do that. And that happens here at Knollwood. There are times that members here invite others into their homes or to their homes, and that time is spent together, and we all benefit from those opportunities. But hospitality also helps to provide unique opportunities to introduce people to the gospel. Have you ever heard of a home Bible study? That's opening up your house to people to come in and study the Bible together. That's hospitality. Opening up your home. It may be that you know somebody. Maybe it's a co-worker, a friend, a relative that really doesn't want to come to services, but they would be open to sitting down and studying the Scriptures with you. Well, what do? You invite them into your home. Have them come into your home and study the Scriptures with them, or ask somebody else to come in and study the Scriptures with them in your home. Hospitality is a way for us to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a way for us to grow as a church. Aquila and Priscilla, no one had to tell them to do it. They knew, and they practiced hospitality, and they set a good example for us in that. Third, we see that Aquila and Priscilla supported preachers, and they supported gospel preaching. God has seen fit to save souls through the preaching of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and at verse 21, it says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." You see, it's through the preaching of the gospel that souls are saved. Any couple that wants to make their marriage work for the cause of Christ is going to have to consider the value that they place upon gospel preaching. And, by extension, those who give their lives to this effort, gospel preachers. We know of at least two preachers who benefited from Aquila and Priscilla. We've already talked about Paul. We've already mentioned Paul. That Paul came to them in Corinth and stayed with them for a year and a half. If we look at this passage in its context in the book of Acts, we see chapter 18 follows chapter 17. In chapter 17, Paul was in Athens where he was pretty much rejected. He didn't enjoy a lot of success preaching in Athens. And so he leaves somewhat dejected and he comes into Corinth, and who does he encounter and who takes him in? Aquila and Priscilla. No doubt they encouraged him. No doubt they encouraged him and they built him up, and he did a good work in Corinth, established a church there. That was a church that had problems. Read 1 Corinthians. It was a church that had some issues, but it was a church, a good church that was established there. And then, of course, he went on to preach in other places. So they helped the Apostle Paul. They traveled with him when he went to Ephesus. And then Paul left them there, and he went on to Jerusalem. But we turn back to Romans chapter 16, where Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned. Paul, again, I want to read this. Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." He said, these two individuals, this couple, they labor with me in the gospel. What do you mean they labor with you in the gospel? We don't read anywhere of Aquila doing any preaching at all, but no, Paul says, they are my fellow workers. They're right there with me as I'm laboring in the gospel. Doesn't it feel good to know that you've got someone there that has your back? That you've got someone there who's there with you while you're laboring, while you're working, while you're taking a stand? Well, Paul had a lot of people like that he could count on. Among them were Priscilla and Aquila. But look at verse 4. Look what's said about them in verse 4. Who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And we don't know what this was. We don't know what the circumstances were, but apparently Aquila and Priscilla put their lives on the line for the Apostle Paul. And it was something that was well known among the churches. And they all honored Aquila and Priscilla for that very thing. They supported the Apostle Paul in his preaching efforts. And again, I want to tell you that Paul was not the only beneficiary there, that they benefited from it as well. There are opportunities to support and to encourage gospel preaching and gospel preachers. And sometimes we're not aware of these opportunities, but they do exist. We have, on the bulletin board out in the foyer, we have report letters from three men that we support in other places. You can contact these men. Their information is found on these letters. And I want to tell you that I was in a position in different churches where I received support from other congregations. And it would have been a world of encouragement to me to hear from a member from one of these congregations and say, hey, we're praying for you. Hey, I've just read your letter. I'm thankful for the things that are happening there. I want to encourage you to keep up with that. Or I see you're going through some struggles. You hang in there. Just dropping them a note like that, trust me, would make all the difference in the world. It would make their day. That's how we can support, how we can encourage gospel preaching and gospel preachers. Last year, last September, I had the opportunity to hold a gospel meeting with a congregation in Kentucky. And I'd been there, used to live in the area, and I'd held a meeting there once before, so this was the second time. And Christy and I and Isaac, we all went. And we know the two preachers there. Know one of them pretty well. Been in his home before a couple of times. Know the elders there pretty well. Know a lot of the brethren there. Some of our good friends live there. Have known them for quite a while. But it turned out circumstances were such that for this particular gospel meeting, we were staying in the home of somebody that we didn't really know very well. And that was interesting. That was interesting, to say the least, because here we are going to an area where we used to live, and we know a lot of people, and would like to spend time with a lot of different people, and we're going to stay with someone that we really don't know. As a matter of fact, to tell you the truth, I couldn't put their face with their name. I didn't know exactly who it was until we showed up on Saturday, knocked on the door, and they opened up the door, and we were like, oh, okay, I know who you are. And we stayed with them, and I want to tell you, there's two sides to a gospel meeting. There's what happens in the assembly, and that's what's important, but there's what happens outside the assembly during the week as well. I want to tell you, as far as the outside the assembly and staying in the home of somebody who was taking care of us that week, that was one of the best weeks that we've ever had. And it turns out that this couple, this was the first time they'd ever kept a preacher in their home. So we got to break them in right. But by the end of the week, we were all tired, but I could tell by the end of the week, it was a good week for them. They'd got to see a gospel meeting from a new point of view, from a new perspective, and come to appreciate it a whole lot more. And we got to know them, and they got to know us, and we left as friends. And that's another way, that's another opportunity that a married couple could have in supporting the preaching of the gospel. To have a gospel preacher stay in your home, that is an experience. I realize not everyone's cut out for it, but it is an experience and it is an opportunity to encourage gospel preachers. There's somebody else that Aquila and Priscilla helped to encourage, and that is Apollos. If you turn to the book of Acts at chapter 18, we're going to read verses 24 through 28. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. Now here, Aquila and Priscilla have traveled with Paul to Ephesus, and Paul has left them there. Paul's traveled on down to Jerusalem, but Aquila and Priscilla are in Ephesus. And remember, the church in Ephesus met in their home, so they make their home in Ephesus for some time. But after Paul's departure, they encounter a Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. Now, what the scriptures tell us here in introducing Apollos, here's a man who has great potential. He's an educated man. He's eloquent in his speech. He has knowledge, some knowledge, and he has zeal. But he needs some additional teaching. Aquila and Priscilla, they hear him teaching in the synagogue. Hey, he's on track, but he's not quite there, and so they take him aside. And they explain the way of God to him more accurately. And you know what he does? He takes that truth, he takes that understanding, and he runs with it. He wants to go back to Achaia. That's where Corinth is. He wants to go back there. Aquila and Priscilla have just come from there. And so no doubt, they're the ones who helped to write this letter and put it in Apollos' hands, and he gets to Corinth and lets them know, hey, Aquila and Priscilla know this man. They're vouching for him. Okay, go ahead and teach. And he did a great job, and he helped the church there. Apollos helped the brethren. But who helped Apollos? Aquila and Priscilla. We don't read of Aquila preaching anywhere. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but he sure helped Apollos, didn't he? And the good that Apollos did was because of Aquila and his wife, Priscilla. God only knows how many souls have been saved because members took the time to lend support and advice and encouragement to gospel preachers. And we can all do that. We can all do that. So they supported preachers and they supported preaching. One more thing I want us to consider, and that is the fact that Aquila and Priscilla were evangelistically opportunistic. I thought that wording might get your attention as we're getting late into this afternoon. They were evangelistically opportunistic. That is, Aquila and Priscilla looked for and took advantage of opportunities to share the gospel with the lost. Where were they when they heard Apollos preaching? They were in the synagogue. Why were these Christians in a Jewish synagogue? Well, because Paul had taught them that that's where they need to go to encounter and to find people who are looking and would be receptive to the truth. And so here they were. They could have been doing anything on Saturday, but they went to the synagogue. Why? To find people who were looking for the truth. Couples today who are wanting to make their marriage work for the Lord will make evangelism a priority in their lives and in their marriage, and they will take the extra step to put themselves in situations to try to share the gospel with those who are lost. Maybe you're not a public speaker. We don't know that Aquila was. That doesn't mean you can't lead someone to Christ. Married couples that have children are in unique positions and have unique opportunities to share the gospel with those that other members here don't have. if your children are in any kind of activity, any kind of activity at all, they go there to that activity with other kids who are there in that activity, and you're there with other parents who are there with their kids in that activity. And what do you talk about when you talk with the parents? You get to know them, don't you? You find some common interests, don't you? Maybe you find some open doors and opportunities to talk about the gospel. Maybe you find a couple that's beginning to struggle or going through a hardship. You know what? Why don't you come to church with us? Some exciting things are happening at Norwood. Well, the singing's uplifting. You can come and you can worship with us. Would you like to come? You ought to come to our Bible class. We're studying this subject in our Bible class. And you know what? I think it would help to answer some of these questions that you might have. You see, you've got a contact with a person there that maybe no one else in the congregation does. We need to be thinking like that. Aquila and Priscilla, they thought outside the box, didn't they? They put themselves in situations to reach people with the gospel. Is evangelism a priority in your house? Do you create and take opportunities to share the gospel with those who are lost? Aquila and Priscilla, they did, and they set a good example for us in this area. Romans chapter 12 and at verse 1 tells us that we are to present ourselves as living sacrifices in our service unto God. Well, it's one thing for us to present ourselves, but it's another thing for us with our spouse to present our marriage as a sacrifice to God, and to give our marriage in service unto God. Aquila and Priscilla were two ordinary people, and yet they played an important role in the spread of the gospel in the first century. I realize that not everyone here is in that unique situation that Aquila and Priscilla are in. There are some here who are single, who are not married. The Bible doesn't condemn that. The Bible doesn't say that that's bad. Those who are single have unique opportunities to serve the Lord that those of us who are married do not have, and need to take advantage of those opportunities. There are some in every local church where you have one spouse who is a Christian and one who is not. And you know, when we talk about things like hospitality and opening up our homes, there's some members here who aren't in a position to do that. Their marital situation really doesn't allow for that. That doesn't mean they're not important. It doesn't mean there aren't things that they can do. They most definitely can. But what it means is that those of us who are married and both spouses are believers, that's all the more reason for us to be committed to making our marriages work for the cause of Christ. Encouraging gospel preaching, opening up our home, practicing hospitality, being of one mind as we strive together and labor together in the gospel and making evangelism a priority in our lives and in our marriages. I thank you very much for your kind consideration of these things, especially those from the Wednesday afternoon class. But I'm grateful for everyone's attention as we looked at these things, and hope that we've talked about some things that may help you and that may encourage you as you and your spouse are striving to serve the Lord. And those of you who aren't married and aren't in these situations, serve the Lord. Spread the gospel. Encourage gospel preaching. You don't have to be married to do that. If there are any who are subject to the invitation, we're going to extend it at this time. If you're ready to obey the gospel, the water is ready for you. We'd love to hear your confession of faith and baptize you into Christ for the remission of your sins. If you're out of duty and need to repent and come back, if you're overwhelmed and need our prayers, whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be made known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.